A new study shows that more people watch TV on tablets than on computers, but either way, there's still nothing on. Yeah, this one's aimed right at you, Chris. Two episodes behind on Fringe.
Sorry.
I don't even know what to say to you right now, man. Although, after the show, we're going to watch it on my smartphone. Hello, everyone. This is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you're listening to That Computer Show, your source for the latest in gaming and technology news. On today's Television-y episode 210 of That Computer Show, good news for wireless power enthusiasts as the Wireless Power Consortium approves longer distance charging, more than 5 millimeters.
Tesla would be disappointed.
Also, Anonymous crashing Formula One websites in accompaniment to the protests in Bahrain. And workers' comp covers sex-related injuries. Good news. Oh, yeah. And the worst sci-fi movie of all time. The votes are in, and the winner is coming up. We're not going to tell you right now. We're going to make you listen. All that and a bag of chips on today's episode 210. Holy shnikes, of That Computer Show. Okay. Now, workers' comp covers sex-related. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, wireless power, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Chris, can you kind of tell us what wireless power is?
Well, it comes in a couple of different flavors, but it's based on the principle of resonance or induction, depending on which technology you're using.
Yeah, so there's kind of two big flavors.
Induction is where you have one coil that sits like in your desk or on a device, like a charging pad, mm-hmm. and you have a similar coil on your phone or the device that you're going to charge, and they just need to be kind of close together. And the current in one coil induces the current in another. That's induction. So you can take your cell phone that has this neat case on it, this wireless, sit it on your desk and charge your phone.
Cool. Okay.
The other wireless power uses resonance. So you hit a bell, and if you have something in another bell in your hand, it'll ring too.
Yeah.
Well, this sort of like that, but electricity. Electricity goes through a coil, and then another coil somewhere else picks up that resonance, and you can get power off that coil. So I guess the wireless technology that they're talking about is probably the induction style, because you need to be real close for that to work.
Yeah, you know the power mat. You know, they sold these for a while, the power mat technology.
Yeah, that's using, I believe, induction.
Well, it just got a boost. The Wireless Power Consortium announced that the improved inductive charging standard, QI, it's going to, quote, include longer-range magnetic resonance wireless charging.
Oh, so they are using resonance. Okay.
Yep. Now, effectively, this means that the charging stations that are at this new specification, they'll be able to transmit up to 5 watts of power from distances of 40 millimeters up from 5. It used to be 5 millimeters. Now it's up to 40, which is still not a whole lot.
Yeah, that's not very far.
But kind of a big thing if you have a charging mat or this kind of opens up the field for maybe a under-the-counter charging mat. That, you know, now you can just set it on top of the desk and it'll charge. Instead of having to put it on the mat, you can actually chargeify your whole desktop.
Now, Tesla's wireless power, he built or was building Wycliffe Tower, and that was supposed to power like the entire city miles away. So
yeah, and give us all cancer. Not really. So. It wouldn't really give us cancer. I'm just kidding. It's all completely safe, although you might go in the dark. Okay, have you heard anything about this Formula One, these protests in Bahrain?
You know, I've gotten to the point where if I see an article online about Anonymous, I just skip it because...
Well, this is in Bahrain, there's a big row over the Formula One race, and Anonymous has gotten in over this, and this is kind of the Arab Spring in Bahrain. You know, we've seen this in Libya and in Egypt and in Pelion and some other places that are, you know, they want freedom. Hackers claiming to be from the Anonymous group have taken down the official Formula One website as protests grow over this weekend's controversial Grand Prix in the Kingdom of Bahrain. Quote, the F1 Grand Prix in Bahrain should be strongly opposed. The Al Khalifa regime stands to profit heavily off the race and has promised to use live ammunition against protesters in preparation, the group said in a statement. So, it's interesting because right next to this, I'm seeing another article about Anonymous shutting down a hidden child abuse hub.
This is, I guess you would refer to the stuff as Hacktivision. It's hacking as a way of
Yeah, it's basically activism. But you're kind of radicalizing and internetifying was it last week we talked about Anonymous going after China? They hacked like 400 something websites. It was last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting to me is Anonymous isn't an organized group. Anybody can be anonymous. Kyle could be anonymous, except for we know who he is and where he lives.
Right.
So
that kind of gets rid of the anonymous factor.
Yeah. So he's non-anonymous. Dude, what do you think about this Medicaid scandal going on in South Carolina? Have you guys heard about this?
Oh, about the stolen Social Security numbers.
Yeah. If you live in South Carolina, I'm sure you know about this. An employee from Swansea, I believe, stole a series of spreadsheets that contain a couple hundred thousand records from like Lexington, Richland, and some other nearby counties, Medicaid recipients, and 22,600 or so of those also have identifying information that can be correlated to Social Security numbers. Your Medicaid number basically has your Social Security number in there. So in one juicy little email, a couple of attachments that have names, addresses, birthdays, shoe sizes, Social Security numbers, yeah, the name of your pet, your mother's maiden name. Actually, some pretty juicy information for identity thieves.
Not good.
Why would somebody grab that?
Well, it's sad, but there's a lot of money to be made out there, you know, selling identities.
And you think this guy did it to try and turn a coin, or do you think he was doing it because he could? Or,
I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but those are two of the top motivating reasons for hacking in general. Mm-hmm. Either doing it to make money these days, or just because you can.
Yeah, like, quote, to see if I could get away with it.
Yeah, I mean.
And he sent them to his Yahoo email address.
His Yahoo.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah. Just because you could, yeah, you probably should not have.
Yeah.
That's just bad form there, buddy.
So, workers' comp covers sex-related injuries, rules a judge. Now, this is an Australian judge, so, you know, the rules. I want to make a joke about Down Under, but I'm not going to.
It's almost as funny as, like, you know, when you hear ridiculous news in the States, it's usually like so-and-so in Florida.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's on a global scale, it's so-and-so in Australia. Australia's like the world's Florida, I guess.
Wow.
Wow. When Australian Special Forces shows up, man, hey. I don't know you. Injuries sustained while having sex on a work trip are covered by workers' compensation. An Australian federal judge has ruled. The ruling accepted that I'm quoting this from the Register just because this is beautiful. The ruling accepted that the nookie-related injury sustained by a government employee on a business trip occurred during, quote, the course of employment, overturning an earlier rejection of the woman's claim for workers' comp. Now, the Social Security guys who have been going to strip clubs.
You mean Social Security?
I mean, Secret Service.
Yes.
Social Security. Secret Service guys who, that scandal, they may be able to use this as a precedent, you know, if they catch something that they shouldn't have.
So they're in the wrong country.
Well, yeah, but, you know, we're friends with Australia, so. The claimant is actually a female working for the Human Relations Section of the Commonwealth Government Agency. She hooked up with a male friend, went for dinner. The pair retired to the hotel room, and during their session, a light fitting over the bed fell off the wall, injuring the woman. I cannot continue this story, as it might not be safe.
Okay. Yeah.
So moving on. Wow. Chris, what do you got? Save me.
Well, last year, I think last year or maybe a little bit earlier than that, we talked about this camera that was going to come out.
Reminds me of the Epic Sax guy.
That could, you didn't have to focus. It would take an image of like all the, it would soak up in all the light rays, and then you could focus the image later. Remember we talked about that, the light ray camera? We thought, oh, that's such a cool technology, something like you'd see in a movie like Blade Runner. If you remember that scene in Blade Runner where he goes and he zooms in know, zoom in even further, you know, zoom in on the mirror and zoom in on the reflection of the mirror. Oh, there's that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, imagine if you could have a camera that you didn't have to focus. You just took a picture of everything right there.
Right.
And then you could focus it later. We talked about that, and it was really cool sci-fi. Well, it's out.
Can I get one of these?
You can. It's called the Lytro, and it's still in kind of testing right now, but some people have them. It's a little bit larger than, like, a lipstick container. It's about 4 inches long or so, kind of square. And it's really interesting. The Lytro goes for $399 for the 8-gig model and $499 for the 6-gig model. It's kind of pricey. And the image size that it takes right now is kind of iffy. It's pretty small. It's an 11 million light ray sensor. So it doesn't really fit the same, like, megapixel. It doesn't fit the same. And the images are not what your computer can just sort of read right out of the camera. They have to be uploaded to the website of the manufacturer and then processed, and then you can download whatever image you want out of that image you took, because it has to be processed on their machines.
Interesting.
Now, that's both a caveat and a bonus, because as they improve the LightWave software on their end, you can have your images reprocessed, because the images are stored, you know, locally, but you upload them and mm-hmm. change them. It's really interesting. Also, the camera is small, and the screen on the camera is also really tiny, 1.8-inch display on the back. So although this camera can really do some really neat things with focusing after the fact, you can't really see that on the tiny
screen. So you just take the picture knowing and hoping that you're going to be able to focus in on the little ladybug on the petal
something,
of the flower.
The camera does have a creative mode, which does allow you to sort of pre-select where you want it to focus as it absorbs the image. It doesn't take the image, it sort of absorbs the image. So they come in a couple of colors. The 16 gigs only available in red. The 8 gig is available in charcoal and blue. And another thing, the software available for the camera right now is only on the Mac. Windows version is in development, but the camera is really still kind of early.
That's cool, man. That'd be fun to play with.
Yep, I would give it a little while before you sink. You drop your money on that.
Right.
Let's hope they get the software a little bit better, because right now the images aren't that great. So something to look forward to.
Pretty revolutionary. That's all for the first segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from WOIC and streaming online at thatcomputershow.net. If you want to join in on the action, call us at 803-748-9293. Get your technology or pop culture questions answered, 803-748-9293. Stay tuned to find out why you should be at home playing video games right now. Stay there. Find out more. That Computer Show will be right back. And we are back with more of That Computer Show. You're listening to us live from thatcomputershow.net or tuning in from AM 1230 WOIC. Call us at 803-748-9293 and get in on the action. I'll say that again more slowly. 803-748-9293. You think that was good? Did you like that?
I'm embarrassed to be sitting next to you.
Oh, you love it and you know it.
I know, I'm kid.
Diablo 3 open beta weekend, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah. I was playing games with some of the people who were waiting on the beta, and they said, "Man, this is the most awesome menu music I've ever heard." Yep.
Yeah, they're gonna stress test the Diablo 3. Now, Kyle, you've played the Diablo 3 beta already?
Yeah, I played it a while ago when my dad got in.
Did you play this weekend?
No, I haven't. I don't want to play it.
There were so many people sitting there trying to get in. They said, "Man, I've been sitting here for half an hour, but my settings are absolutely perfect. I've been working on them the whole time." And then some people did get in, and surprisingly, it runs pretty well on a wide range of systems from what I've heard. So
it ran on my old PC, which was about 4 years old before I upgraded.
One guy posted in our forum, he said that he's working on his laptop with integrated graphics, and he had to set it to lowest resolution, which was 800 by 600.
Oh, my.
And he's like, that was not even the highest resolution available on the previous version.
That was
of
the
Diablo.
Highest resolution.
That was a patch.
800, 600 is the highest resolution you can get on Diablo 2.
Yeah, after a patch, it was. You could run it at 800 by 600.
Yep.
And so the newest game, the lowest setting is beyond the highest setting of the old game, which is great. So
If you have anything better than a Dorito for a video chip, then you should be able to rock out some Diablo 3. Now, if you need something faster than a Dorito for your video chip, we might be able to hook you up.
Yeah.
Doritos Locos Taco?
Well, I was going to say, fairness, the spicy Thai chili Doritos will run it at medium settings. Just saying.
What if you put an entire taco in there? It'll take up two slots, two pieces.
Double width taco.
As long as you have the appropriate cooling.
Yeah, you need cooling.
Sour cream usually helps. Yeah. What if you throw
some guac on there?
Guacamole requires, that's going to.
The power requirements are a little higher.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. We've gone on a Taco Bell tangent. I guess I don't know if it's appropriate to talk about 420 on our radio show, but apparently there was a pretty funny Taco Bell reference on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that if
I just
420, which is a day that is celebrated by those that want to ban or get rid of the cannabis prohibition. There was a tweet.
Or people who are just too high to care.
Yeah. Yeah, man. If Taco Bell delivered, they would be.
Dude, you know in Thailand, Taco Bell does deliver? No, Burger King does deliver. I found that out, that a lot of the fast food restaurants actually deliver. My buddy Dave lives over there. And this is actually very relevant because, yesterday was 420. Apparently, today is National Surprise Drug Testing Day. George Takei.
Yesterday was, day. Today is, day.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's on a Saturday this year. But yes, April 21st is National Surprise Drug Testing Day. And Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day was last week. I found out as well.
What are all these days?
I don't know. My friends over at Watch Fox, Janet, love Janet, man. She's great. She let me know via Facebook.
I need an app to tell me what day it is each day. And not like I know that it's Saturday today. But
it's
like
National what day?
National we made something up.
Because there are
up,
some pretty weird national days.
Yeah, like Tao Day. Are you guys familiar with Tao Day?
National what?
It's sort of like Pi Day, which is March 14th. Tao Day is 628. It's another math number. You'd have to be a math geek to get it.
Huh.
I'm really excited for National Star Wars Day this year, ladies and gentlemen.
May 4th.
May the 4th be with you. I love it. And my daughter actually last year, because remember last year there was the big scandal about the little girl who was being bullied for wearing Star Wars stuff and talking about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, and there was a huge, huge outpouring of support for her. Well, my daughter, Emmy Jo Rockstar, if you're listening to this, I love you, babe. Do your homework or else. And your piano lesson. She wore an Admiral Akbar It's a Trap shirt to school to celebrate Star Wars Day.
Because she's awesome.
And she said to me yesterday that she doesn't have the Bieber fever. She said all of the girls in her school, and she said it's because I make her play video games.
Yes.
So, I love you, kid. You're the best. Okay, so other things to talk about. How about the worst sci-fi movie of all time? And what I like about this is that both Chris and I found this article and both commented about it independent of each other.
Did you actually watch the movie?
I saw it in the theaters, and it hurt me.
Oh, man. I would have been very upset had I paid today's theater price for that movie when it came out. I went into it because the preview was exciting. It had John Travolta in it, and this is, he was coming back up.
I read the books. I read the books, and the books actually are horrible sci-fi. I don't understand how they became red letter titles for sci-fi.
See, I haven't read this article yet, so I have no clue what the movie is.
Yeah. Have you seen Battlefield Earth?
L. Ron Hubbard wrote the
book.
He
won't verbalize it. For those out there, he's...
Yeah, Kyle just shook his head.
He's nodding
his
head, yeah.
Because, the books were written by L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised Tom Cruise wasn't in Battlefield Earth. But John Travolta, who is a big Scientologist, was in Battlefield Earth.
I was so young.
Dude, there's no excuse.
When I saw that movie... All I remember is the upside down guns.
This is great. I love this. The original Battlefield Earth screenwriter was J.D. Shapiro, who subsequently apologized for having anything to do with, quote, the suckiest movie ever.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, what's awesome to me is some of the other films that were in the running, and some of these I don't agree with, but some of them, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, which is a Sci-Fi Channel special, Troll 2. Birdemic Shock and Terror.
Yeah, these sound terrible.
Manos, The Hands of Fate.
But there are some films on this list that I have to disagree. Well, okay, and this
completely.
This isn't just sci-fi. This is worst film ever. So not just sci-fi.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is not one of the worst movies ever made. That was a fun movie. Now, it wasn't completely true to the books, but it was a fun movie. It was in the spirit of the film. I mean, the spirit of the books.
And Avatar, that actually was a fairly decent movie.
I'm wondering if they're talking about Avatar or Avatar the Boy Who Could Fart.
Okay.
Or The Last Airbender, I think. The Last Airbender.
That was
called.
A terrible movie.
I never saw it because everybody said, Steven, you can't watch it. But
it was terrible.
Highlander 2 is on there. Which it got a lot of votes. I think people's problem with Highlander 2 is it did so much to destroy the mythology of the first Highlander, and it didn't make a lot of sense.
And Sean Connery being Scottish trying to play, it's just bad.
I love the first Highlander, though, man.
So, yeah, and other films on this list that I disagree with, but it's just personally, like, Titanic was a good film. It was a pretty decent film. It was kind of sappy, yeah. But
I don't think that it should have been released for the 100th year celebration of, or I guess mourning or whatever. Of the sinking of the Titanic. That just seemed like let's get some money.
The Blair Witch Project, number 6 on this list, that was actually quite an entertaining independent film. It was not a big budget film. These kids, like, it was like a college project film. It was not huge budget. And if you see it for what it was actually quite an entertaining film. You know, they tried to pull off the same type of film with, what was it, Cloverfield? Which
I liked
Cloverfield. I'm glad that's not on this list, because that was a really good film, if you like the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cloverfield was good.
I liked Cloverfield.
Now, Snakes on a Plane, that was kind of crappy.
That was a movie made around the phrase, Snakes on a Mother.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I think we've probably given this more time than it's due.
Yeah, I think this is the worst list of movies ever.
But, you know, I saw there's a link on this page. It's an advertisement about Ultraviolet. And I did want to talk about this because we've been talking about digital media. I've got a related article about the whole more people are watching TV on tablets than on computers and blah, blah, blah.
See, I'm not the kind. I would be outside that. I actually watch all of my TV on my computer.
And I watch a lot of it on my computer as well, frankly, because it looks better than on my phone.
It's a bigger screen. I got a nice comfy chair.
Yeah.
It would seem kind of dumb to watch TV on a 4-inch screen or a 10-inch screen in your hand if you have a 30-inch screen on your desk or a 42-inch screen across your couch. If you're watching TV on a tablet, because...
Well, like if you're in an airport or something like that, it makes sense.
It does,
but if you're at home,
it's kind of dumb.
Yeah, watch it on your TV.
That's why I always thought, and I'm not knocking Time Warner for this because it's really a cool technology, but the whole thing with being able to watch Time Warner cable on your iPad in your house.
Well, and that's actually gotten cooler because, you know, they're adding, and I didn't want to talk about this because I didn't think anybody would care, but they're now adding regional support for ESPN, ESPN2. If you live in the Charlotte region, you can watch like the Redneck NASCAR channel, whatever they call it. I don't know what it's called. it's cars going around in a circle. So that's kind of cool. I mean, I will say this. If as a Time Warner Cable subscriber, I could watch Fringe on my smart device, if I could actually connect to the same content from my Time Warner account from a smart device, a tablet or...
But the thing is, I think the rules were... And Time Warner was kind of pushed into this by the content creators.
Right, it's not their fault.
Not their fault. They wanted you to be able to, say, take your iPad to work and on your lunch break watch the TV from home on your iPad, which makes a lot of sense. Hey, if you got an hour lunch break, hey, let's catch up on that episode of Fringe that you missed last night. Which would be great, except for if you take your iPad outside of your home network, that app shuts down. You can't use it without some VPN magic.
Okay, I want to paint a scenario for you. Okay, you have a Hulu Plus subscription.
I do.
And let's say you want to catch up on Fringe because you're 2 episodes behind. You suck.
I do.
Because I want to talk to you about it. But you're going to go on a plane. You can't.
As long as there are not snakes or Samuel L. Jackson on this plane.
Well, I'd ride with Sam Jackson. Yeah, I'd be like, Sam Jackson, let's watch Fringe together.
Every time he gets on a plane.
There's snakes.
So. Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so say you want to do that, and you can't because you can't stream that stuff. Well, I'm looking at this Ultraviolet service, which is designed for like high-definition movies. Apparently, you can download your Ultraviolet discs for offline viewing, which is great if you have a tablet or a netbook and you want to watch content on a plane.
That's cool. You can plan out how long your flight takes and get the exact number of movies you
yeah,
want.
Just like catch up on your movies you want to watch. Apparently, Ultraviolet launched in October 2011. It's being pitched as a universal cloud-hosted movie library. The notion is that all of your content will be permanently available to you on the internet, not only the stuff that you've purchased online, but the stuff you physically own. For example, if I get Pirates of the Caribbean, this is the fifth movie, and it's probably gone on too long. That's the actual working title. Mm-hmm. If I buy the Blu-ray, I can assign a copy of that movie to my Ultraviolet account. Some of the things I like about Ultraviolet, and I haven't played with it a whole lot, but up to 6 family or household members can use a single Ultraviolet library. You know, with Netflix and some of the other services, you can have multiple devices, but multiple people can't really. It's not designed for multiple users. It's designed for one person with multiple devices. There's kind of a big difference there. The discs included with select Blu-rays and DVDs, you can get your disc copy as an option with digital purchases as well. If you buy the movie, you can get the option to watch it on Ultraviolet. Apparently, if you go to Walmart, this is something that's coming soon, and I'm not supporting going to Walmart, but you take your disc library to Walmart, your old disc library, like Lethal Weapon 1, 2, 3, and 4, you pay like $2 a disc, and they will add the license so that you can watch it online as well. Now, you get to keep your movies, but then you can go online, and which would be great if we're having a party at the store, and we want to go in the conference room, and we want to watch, I don't know, Transformers or Star Trek.
Yeah.
We can, even if I don't have the disc. That's been my biggest issue is, what happens with my physical library if I'm on the go? What happens with my virtual library if I don't have an internet connection? Ultraviolet promises to solve those two. We'll see. I'm going to play with it after the show and see what happens. But I just wish that I could download my Hulu Plus content or my Netflix content offline so that I could watch it, like at my mom's place who doesn't have a fast internet connection.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
/ rant. I'm done. Oh dear. That's all for the second segment?
You slash ranted your way.
I just all the way through. That's all for the second segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting live from AM 1230 WOIC and streaming from thatcomputershow.net. We're going to be back after the break talking about how there's a cosmic light show coming out of Uranus.
It's pronounced Uranus.
No more Mexican food for you. Stay tuned. That Computer Show will be right back.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, dart it, point it, zoom it.
And we are back for the third and awesomest segment of That Computer Show, broadcasting from AM 1230 WOIC or streaming live from thatcomputershow.net. Okay, so I guess I really have to talk about this because, well, that was the tease for the end of the segment. Actually, I don't know if I want to talk about the cosmic light show coming from Uranus.
Uranus, yes.
Whatever.
It was fun. It's cool. I like planet news.
Yeah, I'm looking for it, and I can't find it because... Oh, here it is. Telescope spots cosmic light show blasting out of Uranus.
Is there a rave going on?
There's...
Uranus? On Uranus.
Uranus.
Okay, you know what? No, I'm not going to talk about it. We're going to talk about something else. How about Canadians suing Apple?
What's this all about?
It's all about the e-store stuff. It's the same thing that Americans are suing Apple for. They're just following suit A. Apparently, the Montreal Gazette summarized the three suits on Friday after talking with the lawyer in charge. Targeting Apple for pushing publishers to move away from Amazon's popular wholesale model, where resellers get to determine the price of ebooks, to the agency model, where publishers get to determine their own prices. In other words, in the wholesale model, I as a writer of books could say, hey, I want to sell my book for 99 cents, or I want to sell my book for $5. In the agency model, Random House or Roald Dahl or whoever, they get to say, oh, you're going to sell this book for $15 or for $5 or whatever.
Do they also determine how much of it comes back to you as the...
I am not wise enough to know the particulars of that model, but I believe that Apple gets 30% period And that was part of the American version of the lawsuit.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is kind of interesting.
30%'s a lot.
Yeah, it is.
They already get 30% off anything you make on any app on the App Store. So if you write the next greatest Flickr app or
Instagram?
Instagram.
So do they get 300?
Not only did Facebook buy Instagram, it wasn't just that Facebook bought it. Mark Zuckerberg, he actually bought it. He's with his own money. He's like, pulled out his wallet. It's like, nah, just put that on the gold card.
I'm going to write some numbers on this piece of paper, and I'm going to push it across the desk. You tell me what you think.
Those are some good numbers.
Wow, it's a lot of zeros. I like zeros.
Except they're in the front.
Dropbox. Yeah, 00001. Oh, he's dyslexic. The owner of Instagram's dyslexic. He actually got it for a dollar. He just read it backwards.
Whoopsie.
Dropbox. You know about Dropbox. We all know it and love it.
Dropbox is awesome. If you don't know about it and love it, or don't love it because you don't know about it, give us a call. Come by.
Yeah, Dropbox is good stuff. Well, apparently Google getting back in the fray. Now, Google actually has had their own cloud storage. You know what's funny? Do you remember xDrive back in the day?
No.
xDrive was one of the pioneers of cloud storage. It was your X drive. It was an online drive where you could store stuff online. It kind of sounds like cloud storage. Well, now you have SkyDrive with Microsoft and their mesh stuff. You've got, of course, Dropbox. The one that I'm beta testing now, it's called Bitkasa, which is unlimited cloud-based storage. Google is getting in on the act with their, now calling it Google Drive. It used to be called the G Drive, and it was a thing that they did for a while, and then they stopped doing it. Looks like you're going to start with 5 of the gigabytes, and I don't know if you're going to be able to pay to get more, because, you know, really 5 gigabytes isn't that much when you start to think about how much crap you've got on your computer.
My current Dropbox is 12 gigabytes of the storage.
Yeah, I don't know how big my
I'm using a little under half of that right now.
Yeah.
So,
but looks like it's coming next week. So, I don't know how I feel about this, man. Google Drive, my Google Drive. Just put that on my Google Drive, cuz Google's taking over the world. Now they're taking over my storage.
So, Have you heard about this botnet?
Which DNS one?
Botnet that FBI is going to be taking down.
Oh, in July. It's going to go dark for a lot of people.
And they've been putting this off. The FBI has seized control of the command and control servers for a known botnet, and they haven't taken it down yet. They know it's there. They haven't pulled a plug on it yet because apparently millions of computers are infected with this particular virus or infection. And if the FBI shuts this thing down, or when, because they're going to do it on July 9th, the infected users will not be able to connect to the internet. It'll basically break their internet connection.
Because the FBI shut down the botnet, but they've been running a safety net to give people continued access to DNS and stuff like this.
They want you to see if your computer is infected. So,
yeah, I think we're gonna run a special. If you are in the Columbia, Lexington, Irmo, wherever area, come by that computer store. We'll actually do a scan to see if you're infected. No charge, because a lot of people are gonna have. Basically, they're not gonna be able to surf the web coming in July. Now, FBI's already put this off a couple of times. Bless you.
Thank you.
But it looks like they're gonna do it for real this time. And a lot of people suddenly going to find themselves not able to surf. Now you're probably already suffering from issues like slow browsing, uncontrollable gas, and some other really unsightly, blemishes, things like that are really making your life miserable. But in July, it's going to be over. Not going to be able to surf the webs. So if you think you might be infected, or if you don't think you might be infected, but you have a little bit of paranoia, which they are really out to get you. Give us a call at that computer store, and we'll check it out for free, because we're gonna get hammered. We're gonna get flooded with people. I don't know what the numbers are, how many people are infected with this thing, but it's a lot. So, it's hundreds of thousands. And actually, speaking of hundreds of thousands, the flashback virus that's been slamming Macs left and right. Apple put out a patch to fix it, but according to some security specialists, there's still, over 600,000 Macs still hijacked the Dr. Web people put out a cool chart with colors and numbers.
I wonder squares. If it's the philosophy that if you have a Mac, you're not infected.
Yeah, people just don't worry about running updates. People don't worry about running security software. And this botnet is...
We've been warning people for years that just because you have a Mac doesn't mean you're immune to viruses. It meant that you were probably immune to viruses that were written specifically for Windows, but the days of Windows being the only platform that was attacked are well past. Windows is still the majority. It does have the majority of attacks aimed at it, but you know the Mac platform has gained popularity. It's one of the most popular platforms for students. So obviously, if I were a black hat hacker and wanted to profit the most off the most infected systems today, I would make sure that whatever malware would work cross platform.
Okay, I'm going to read this. This is really cool. Now, Symantec said that compromised systems are down to about 140,000, but Dr. Webb said that by their numbers, there's over 600,000. Check this out. This is really interesting. The revised numbers are the result of so-called sinkholes researchers construct to act as surrogate command and control servers for hijacked machines. To give the flashback botnet resilience against a takedown of the real command channels, the malware uses the current date and certain code embedded parameters to dynamically generate alternate domain names that the infected Macs report to. Now, the researchers, by registering the domains ahead of the flashback operators, basically registering these domain names before they're randomly generated based on these parameters, security researchers are able to create benign control servers that can prevent the bots from receiving harmful commands and can also conduct reconnaissance on the targeted malware. So what they're basically doing is the good guys are creating their own control servers, their own, I guess, security agents within this evil network to...
Agent Smith.
To pose as control servers so that they can learn more about it.
I wonder how they figure out what the domain names are going to be.
It's a date plus an algorithm that generates the rest of the domain name.
So they figured that out. They're probably taking machines, they're taking the code, changing the date, seeing what's generated. And this is interesting. This is really cool stuff. So if you have a Mac or someone you love or someone you loathe has a Mac, man, get them to update their software because this virus has been plugged. It's been fixed. But people are still being infected. Or not being infected, but people are still part of this botnet. How much time do we have, Kyle?
We've got like 5 minutes.
Have time for another rant?
Yeah. Slash rant. Begin.
How about some Half-Life 3 news?
Don't believe you.
Half-Life 3?
Gabe Newell updates an interviewer on the status of Wink Wink Ricochet 2. This comes from Kotaku.com. A dude interviewed Gabe, who's the software boss at Valve, and this is great. My final question, this is a quote, and the question in the back of all of your fans' minds, and everyone has been waiting to ask you for a long time, when can we expect the release of Ricochet 2? Wink. Replace Ricochet 2 with Half-Life 2 Episode 3, or Half-Life 3, and Gabe Newell's answer, in terms of Ricochet 2, we've always had this problem that when we talk about things too far in advance, we end up changing our minds as we're going through and developing stuff. So as we're thinking through the giant story arc, which is Ricochet 2, Ricochet doesn't have that big a story arc. You might get to a point where you're saying something is surprising, blah, 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 blah. So he basically probed further by the hosts on the current staffing levels for the project and whether there's been a slowdown on Ricochet 2. Gabe replies, no, everyone who has worked on Ricochet 2 continues to work on Ricochet 2. And then he laughs. So we might actually be seeing some... for the record, Ricochet was a multiplayer mod for the original Half-Life and was released by the company in 2000.
I will believe it when I see it.
You think?
Yeah, I don't have much faith at this point.
You can actually listen to this, and apparently at 21 minutes 5 seconds, you can hear the tones of voice that give us the geek glee that tells us there might actually be some movement on Half-Life 3. I think we might listen to this during, after the show. But another piece of video game news. A new piece of video game software that actually treats teenage depression.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's true. I'm going to send you the link.
There are so many things I want to say about the state of online gaming when concerning teenagers, but none of it you can say on the air because of the type of language that teenagers use on like online chat and especially on like the Xbox network.
Just terrible. This is a little different. A research team in New Zealand created a fantasy game called Sparks. It was designed to help teenagers combat depression, and they, because they're scientists, they have done some experiments on this. Teens in the program who played Sparks turned out to be significantly more likely to see their depression ebb than teens who participated in standard therapy. 26% of the participants in traditional care had their depression go into remission during the study, but among the teens who played the game, the percentage jumped to 44%. Now, SPARKS stands for Smart, Positive, Active, Realistic, X-Factor Thoughts. Weird.
Well, come up with a better acronym than that, guys.
But the game requires no supervision, nor do you have to go and discuss it aloud with an adult. Basically, you don't have to go to therapy sessions with this game. And talk about stuff, that, you know, issues that are embarrassing. The game is designed to help teenagers learn how to deal with depression and the causes of depression.
I wonder what the game's like.
I don't know, but I would really like...
You shoot zombies. No, you don't shoot zombies.
Yeah, I would really like to check out the game. There's not really any specifics on the game itself, but this was first brought to my attention by the guys over at Watermark Hypnosis. They're in town. And this is something that's really interesting to them, obviously, because they, you know, they help with therapy and things like that. But so I'd love to see Sparks in action and see if it, what it is.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
Do you get to kill zombies? Because that would help my depression.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'd be depressed if there were zombies, but I'd feel better if I got to kill them. Just saying. Chris, you got anything you want to close with?
I think you covered most of what I have.
Then we will speak briefly about the world's total CPU power and what it equals.
What does it equal?
A Dorito! No. One human brain, apparently, according to this estimate.
What?
Interesting.
All of it?
Apparently, the world's total CPU processing power equals one human brain in its computing potential. Now, I don't know if I agree with this because the human brain... It's a specific kind of processing power. You know what I mean? The human brain is very adaptive, not really good at processing, I don't know, megatexels on the screen, but really great at telling me what I want for lunch.
Speaking of...
I want Thai food. Of course, you guys knew that because every Saturday, what does Stephen want after the show? Thai food.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have for this week's That Computer Show. We'll be back next week with more That Computer Show, Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hit us up during the week at thatcomputershow.net to get downloads, blog posts, past episodes, and more. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TCSJoe and become our Facebook friend, facebook.com/thatcomputerstore. If you're not our Facebook friend, breaking the news.
You're a terrible person.
You're a terrible person.
We feel so bad for you. You are a bad person, and you should feel bad.
But you could be a better person immediately, instantly. You don't have to play a video game. Just become our Facebook friend.
Click that friend
button. Click the
button,
like button.
And
like,
oh, my gosh.
Like us.
So until next week, this is Steven.
This is Chris.
And this is Kyle.
And you've been listening to
That Computer Show.